Hello, this is episode 311, and in this episode and the next, it's all about introductions and updates. And of course, if you are keen to hear from someone who has recently renovated their home and actually really enjoyed the experience, you're going to want to listen to this episode. Now, over the past year, we've had a fair few changes behind the scenes in Undercover Architect, and one of those changes has involved hiring an incredible woman, Caroline, as our community support and member success coordinator. Caroline actually started with Team UA in early June 2023, but as you'll learn from this episode, Caroline has been inside the Undercover Architect community for a lot longer, and that's because Caroline actually did her own renovation project as a Home Method member prior to joining Team UA. This episode is a great conversation all about how Caroline set herself up for success so that she could have an enjoyable, rewarding renovation project, even navigating the demands of COVID and all of that that it brought. And she's also sharing what she's learned along the way and how she leaned on her team to help her feel confident and problem solve as she went. Now, remember, if you'd like to grab a full transcript of this episode plus information on the resources that we discuss, you can find all of that by heading to www.undercoverarchitect.com/311. That's the numbers 311. Now, let's dive in. I begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of country throughout Australia, and I recognise the continuing connection to lands, waters, skies, and communities. I pay my respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to elders both past and present. If we haven't met before, I'm Amelia Lee, the architect behind Undercover Architect. Based in northern New South Wales, Australia, I'm a wife, mum, and architect, and I've been working in the architectural industry since 1993. I founded Undercover Architect in mid-2014, and since then, it has operated online to help and teach homeowners like you how to get it right when designing, building, or renovating your home. Undercover Architect supports hundreds of thousands of homeowners across the world through their project journeys via this podcast, the website, and our online courses and programs, including my flagship online program, Home Method. Consider Undercover Architect your secret ally. Whoever you're working with and whatever your dreams, your location, or your budget, it's here to support and guide you on this ambitious journey of yours. Grab access to my free online workshop, Your Project Plan, and learn super helpful information to save time, money, and stress in your reno or new build. You can find it at www.undercoverarchitect.com/project-plan. That's P-R-O-J-E-C-T-P-L-A-N. Now, let's get into the episode. When I went looking for a community support and member success coordinator, it's a very big mouthful as a role title. It was essentially about finding someone who loves what we do at Undercover Architect and could help me give more love to our community and especially to our Home Method members to be solely dedicated to that role. Now, we had loads of applicants when we started looking for that person, and amazing applicants. You know, people were from inside the UA community. We also had architects and graduate architects. We had a range of other experienced and amazing candidates from all sorts of industries. I was really humbled, and I was blown away by the caliber of applicants for that role. I actually ended up hiring three people that I got to interview and meet for various different roles in both Undercover Architect and Live Life Build from that one kind of search. And Caroline came on board Team UA for the specific community support and member success coordinator role, and has been working with us since June 2023 and doing an amazing job of loving our Home Method members and working with the wider team to improve and support what we do on a continual basis. And what I love is that Caroline has been where you are in a way that I haven't. So even though I've renovated my own home three times over, and of course I've worked with countless clients and homeowner members, I've always done it as somebody who's inside the industry. And so what I find is Caroline's insight and experience, both as a renovator and as someone who actually used the Home Method program to navigate her project, it's been so helpful in supporting our members much more effectively and also identifying opportunities for us to continue to iterate and improve what we do here at Undercover Architect, especially in the way that we support our Home Method members. Now, in this episode, we talk about Caroline's experience of her own renovation, how she felt when she was starting out, what made her go looking for help and support, and what her project experience was like. And then in the next episode, we're going to talk about what it's been like for Caroline actually being on the inside of Undercover Architect and the Home Method community and supporting homeowners now navigating their projects. And we're also going to talk about what's coming up on the podcast in future episodes, because I think you're going to be super excited about it. I know I am. I know we are as a team. And so I'm really looking forward to being able to share a bit more information about that with you. So with great pleasure, please let me introduce to you Caroline. Well, Caroline, I am so excited to have you here on the podcast. Of course, you and I speak, you know, daily in Slack, and we meet regularly on Zoom, and it's and I feel like I've known you forever, because obviously you've been inside the undercover architect community doing your own project for a long time. But it's been so lovely having you inside Undercover Architect's team and having you support our member community in particular, and Undercover Architect more generally. And so I'm really, really looking forward to having this conversation on the podcast and being able to share you with the wider UA community, and also share your learnings, your experience, your insights, because I know that they come from a place of obviously having experience doing a project yourself and then being on the inside and helping our members navigate their projects. So I'm really, really grateful that you're taking this time to be here. I'm just wondering if you can start out by just telling us a little bit about yourself, about your family, so that the listeners can be more familiar with it.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be on the podcast. I've been an avid listener for a long time, so it's very exciting. So I'm Caroline. I live in Brisbane with my husband and my two daughters. So they're now 13 and 10, and they were quite a bit younger when we started our project journey. They're a cute little pair. There's always lots of interesting times with our family. So, yeah.
Yeah, and your youngest has just had a birthday, so you've just got now two double digits in the house, haven't you? So,
and all the things that come with having girls, I think, too. Lots to look forward to, I think.
Yeah, fantastic. And how can you remember, it was obviously a long time ago, how you first came across Undercover Architect and discovered it for your own project research?
Sure. So I think we have a 1950s home that was in Brisbane's north side. And for a long time, we knew that we needed to do something. So when we bought it, we knew the roof needed replacing. We lived there for about 10 years. Fortunately, touch wood, that was all okay. But we knew we needed to do something different. So I started diving into some research, trying to figure out, what do we do? Do we sell? Do we renovate? I'm not sure what to do. So I did lots of kind of diving in and trying to find the answers on the internet, and came across the YouTube channel. And there was a YouTube clip there about pre-1946 houses, which didn't apply to us, but I found Undercover Architect. So then I dived into the podcast, which I loved. And then I think actually you came to Brisbane for an event at the convention centre. It was one of the home renovation shows, and I ended up going along to watch you speak. And I think at that stage I was thinking, I'm getting a little bit closer, but I'm still not there. And after speaking with you and talking through just briefly what I had thought we would do, and understanding how far off the mark that we actually were with what we were thinking in terms of budget, which was brilliant, because it's what I needed to hear. And then I had to come up with a different plan. So my plan was join home method, dive into that, and then we came across the pack process as part of that.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I talk a lot about how important it is to get that correction of assumptions, you know, so that your assumptions and reality meet, or your expectations and reality meet, as quickly as possible, as early as possible in your project. But it often can come quite abruptly or in a really confronting way for many when they sort of first hear that. And, you know, we've talked a lot about how I've, you know, throughout my career, I've found that most people's budget expectations are 50 to 75% of where they need to match the brief or the ideas that they've got for their future home. And so I love that, you know, you've said to me it was really useful for you, for me to tell you very bluntly that no, that's not enough money for what you wanted to
do. Absolutely. And we definitely fell into that 50% category. We were 50% off what we thought we'd spend and what we were thinking we would do would cost. So for me, yeah, and that was really interesting, because you actually started to put some thoughts in our head about things that we could do differently. It wasn't actually what I thought we should do, but it just gave us some different thoughts. So those thoughts were enough to make me go, I don't have all the information, and I actually don't have all the skills. And I spent a lot of time, you know, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out this problem that I had no skill or ability to actually figure out. So I think once I dove into home method, got educated, realized that we actually needed to start with getting that team together and using the pack process. And for us, we then started to have conversations with designers and builders about pack. And that's a process in itself. But I think what it came down to is that I had no idea what I was doing. I was just wasting time thinking about how I was going to solve a problem that I didn't have the skills for. And whilst I, you know, wasted that time, the house was falling apart, you know, the gutters were rusting, the downpipes were, you know, at a 45 degree angle to the house. So I really needed that team to really start helping me figure out what it is that we needed to do next.
And you ended up obviously working with some friends of Undercover Architects. So you used Aaron at Green Coast Design, who's been interviewed on the podcast a couple of times. He's in season four, talking about what a building designer does. And then he's also episode, I think, 203, I think it is, talking about how a building designer works inside the pack process. And then, of course, you had Duane Pierce from DPS Constructions, who's also my business partner in Live Life Build, as your builder. So can you just talk about, because I think a lot of people, they struggle whether they're going to do the pack process. And we have lots of Home Method members that don't do the pack process. They decide they're going to follow a traditional model instead, where they work with a designer and then they get their project tendered to a range of builders and go from there. And then we also have Home Method members who have decided from the outset they're going to do the pack process, and then others who've started in a traditional process and they decided, no, actually, I need to figure out how to get the builder's input earlier than what I was planning. So, and they've sort of done a hybrid. So for you, you said you realized that that was the process that you wanted to take. How, you know, how did you go about that? And then also, I suppose, using the resources inside Home Method to sort of interview the team and think about, make sure that you were getting the right people on board, because as you said, that team is so critical to how the project goes for you.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, I was lucky enough to hear one of those stories where someone said the architect designed something they couldn't afford to build. And that was a real learning for me. I was like, oh, okay, this, I can't mess this up. We can't afford, we did have a pretty small budget. And I was like, I can't afford to be paying for redesign fees if it can't be constructed. And so we did have the dream team. We had Aaron and Duane. So we were really lucky. But I did still check in with, you know, designers. We were ringing designers early on. Some of them, you know, we were able to talk through how they work, and some of them haven't used a builder, haven't been through that pack process. And for me, you know, as much as some of what their design values are around sustainability and things like that, I knew that for me, I would need that support of the pack process because of our budget and because I think I was just nervous. It was such a new thing. I think I needed that team early on. So also for me, the pack process was really helpful because we could really test that builder relationship out at a really low cost, I think, compared to what you would be paying if you're, you know, in that contract and it all goes pear-shaped. For me, it was really brilliant to be able to understand how the business works, know that you're getting phone calls back. And I think it's just developing that trust really with your designer and with your builder. So for us, it was asking lots of questions. We got lots of information when we went through that picking a designer process. There was lots of phone calls. There was some early discussions about, you know, if I'm heading down this track, is that a better move than doing, you know, a knockdown rebuild? And so we understood a little bit more, just the bits of information that we got in that process where we heard about latent conditions. And it was all of those things, hearing those things explained early on made such a huge difference to us in how we approached the project. And I think just testing the relationship, having trusting relationships is just super critical. I think it's really the key to your project being successful is trusting your team. And getting other people involved is awesome as well, I think, just to test things out and kind of get another opinion on things as well.
What I love about your project is it was a home renovation, but you did it in it's a very discreet home renovation. Like you were working with a tight budget. You wanted to improve the livability of your home. You had a challenging site because you've got roughly south to rear orientation. Yep. You knew that your budget wasn't going to obviously allow you to pull the whole house apart and put it all back together, that you were going to have to be economical and efficient with the way that the space was designed. And then also you were doing this through COVID. So yeah, you were also navigating a bunch of supply issues. It was when timber was like very, very hard to come by and you know, really reach that crunch point. So can you tell us a little bit about kind of what led you to do the project design the way that you did, and then some of those experiences of navigating that. I remember there was obviously the story with the rafters versus the trusses and things like that when you were navigating your project. So yeah, just to give people a little bit of a picture of what you actually did to your house and that process of staying constrained, I suppose, in terms of what you were doing.
Sure. So I think we were really upfront about our budget at the start. So the whole team knew that, the designer, the builder, we spoke through those things early on. And we also did speak with the builder early on. And I think one of the things I hadn't mentioned before is I did actually go through the checklist that's in Home Method with Dwayne, which is kind of interesting and funny because he is obviously part of the pack process. So I do have a giggle at that these days. Yes. So our project, it was a 1950s house. We had a really limited budget. And so we were really upfront with the team early on that our budget was quite tight. So our designer, Aaron, presented us with two different options. So one was based on our budget and our brief, and one was based on our budget and our brief, but was at a higher budget. And so what they said was, with the one that was presented as being higher in terms of budget, it would also, one of the downsides of that also would be the quality of the finishes wouldn't be at what I was hoping for. So we had to make a decision about how much are we going to spend. And for us, it was really important that we stayed as close to that budget as we could. And so we did go with the first option. There was also another option that was explored that was a little bit bigger, kind of between the two. But I knew that there would probably be some, you know, creep in terms of spend, in terms of fixtures and fittings. And so we did decide to build quite small. We've lived in a small house for a long time. It's, you know, my husband really wanted a second bathroom, an ensuite for us. So we did include that, but we didn't feel like we needed a lot more space. And what we got was really awesome because we've got, you know, the front of our house does very much look like it's the original 1950s house, but we have built to the rear, which is challenging because it is south to rear, but we just work through how we'll make that glazing work because obviously it's exposed to that western side. So we just kind of reduce the glazing on that side and got a really livable home that doesn't have a huge footprint. And we preserved, you know, some backyard space. We didn't overshadow the yard too much. So there's lots of things that going through that process, keeping it small really worked for the site and it worked for our budget as well.
Yeah. And then some of those challenges during COVID, can you remember when you were?
Yeah.
And I remember that whole kind of, you know, challenge with the roof and those types of things.
So we straddled COVID during our project. So I think when we initially started, COVID hadn't quite hit, but certainly when we hit the design phase, COVID was, you know, it was on the agenda. And then the impact of that, we really felt further on and felt that because of that pack process, we managed to mitigate a whole load of things that would have mean our project would have come undone. So because we had a builder engaged, we were having discussions about supply issues, supply costs, those kind of things. And we could sit at the table and have Dwayne say to us, we know these price increases are coming. We're not hurrying you along, but we just want you to know you can make a decision. So we had scheduled for a certain time frame, but we knew if we kept taking too much longer, we'd be pushed further back in the build. And the consequence of that would be that prices would have risen. And we had some really lucky things happen because of COVID and some of the challenges that we had. So yeah, roof trusses were a real issue. And getting supply roof trusses would have meant that there would have been about a couple of months of delay on our build. And so we had the designer and the builder working together and keeping us informed along the way about some alternatives. So we've got a really beautiful hand-pitched roof at the rear of our property, which really, if there had been trusses available, that would have been a cheaper option. But because they weren't, we've ended up with a hand-pitched roof, which is really beautiful. And also, you know, still kept on that budget because we didn't have the delays. But if we didn't have that builder on board early on, that wouldn't have happened at that design stage. So, yeah, the project would have been way more expensive than what it would have been, than what it was.
Yeah, I loved that collaborative outcome that, you know, we see a lot, obviously, with the members inside Home Method, really kind of having the opportunity to explore when they've got two people or two businesses in their builder and their designer or architect, really understanding their project intimately and having on their radar potential changes or challenges so that when something like that does come up, they can sort of figure out how they're going to work around it. And so, yeah, as you say, you've now got this beautiful rafted ceiling in that rear extension space that gives you a different kind of volume, a different kind of experience to that space because of that it's quite serendipitous, isn't it?
It really is. It is pretty special. I mean, it's not what we expected. And I think having that team with a different set of eyes as well, there was things about our house that I didn't love. We've got a really old 1950s home, and so it's got kind of Bernie board with the demold across it. And I used to always think, oh, it looks kind of old. And I knew there wasn't money in the budget to, put in plaster walls, and that probably may not have worked for our house. But I think having a team standing in your house and together saying, we can do something to actually make those things really sing and come to life and actually make them a feature rather than, and I think there's a lot of trust that you put in your team as well when you pick a good team, that they have a lot more vision than what you do as a homeowner, that they can see things a little bit differently. So yeah, that's part of that hand-pitched roof is embracing the things that were existing in the house, which ended up saving us a lot of money. And we actually really, really love how it feels and how it looks.
It's fantastic. Along the way, you and I also had a one-to-one where you purchased one of the member upgrades Inside Home Method to have a Zoom consult with me where we were going across your design. Can you remember what led you to doing that? I know that, you and I have spoken about this. Some homeowners feel like they're going to be almost cheating on their designer by doing this or being disloyal to their designer by getting a second opinion, however they go about sort of pursuing it. And so it's something that I see a lot of homeowners can feel a bit uncomfortable about getting that second opinion from somebody else whilst their design's underway. I've also seen architects and designers talk their clients out of it because they're worried that somebody else's opinion might derail the process. And so that's also interesting when homeowners are trying to sort of navigate that. But you obviously made the call to do that. And I know, Aaron Wales is somebody that I've worked with for a long time in Mervac, and we employed him he was one of our first team members at DC8 Studio, and he and I've worked together privately as well. So he's somebody that knows me very well, knows how I design, and I know how he designs. So in terms of you making that choice, why did you? And then what were you specifically seeking in terms of the outcome of that one-to-one consultation with me?
Well, I think I knew from listening to the podcast all the way along, and when I joined Home Method, I knew that was an option that was available, and I knew for me that was always on the table, regardless of who was designing the home, that's something that I wanted as a kind of check-in that we're on the right track. And so my husband Scott came to that meeting as well, and for us it was just checking in on a few things. So because we were wanting to keep the budget really small, there was the rear extension was, it was still kind of the same footprint, but we just had a slightly different exterior to it. So it was a lot more open. It was more of like a winter room, was how it was described. And one of the things that I was thinking through was, like, we do have a really small house, and whilst we can kind of make it work, it was a little bit tight in the lounge. There was not much space on the couch. Sometimes Scott would have to sit on the floor and the kids and I would get the couch. So that was one of the things that I knew I wanted to check in on was, is that winter room going to work for us, or am I better to enclose that space? And we did end up getting your feedback on that, for a family home, that is probably a really good solution, is actually enclosing that space. There's a few other really practical things. We had quite a big island and still do have a big island, but I think you really challenged me on not maybe having as much space for a kitchen table. And so I did let go a little bit. I think in my design brief, I really had focused in on having a kitchen island. But I think what I realized was we really did need to make space for the kitchen table as well. So we've got, generally we'll have my mum over, 5 people at night. So having that at an island, is probably not as convenient as having at dinner at a table, and having those options was great. So we still have a beautiful big island that is super practical with no sink and is fantastic, but also have the option for having a table. There was also some other things that we kind of looked at, glazing, where the ensuite was placed, things like that. But I think it was just having that back and forth and thinking things through. I know I also got a bit obsessed about ovens. So placing the oven in the kitchen, I do remember you telling me about, how your son pops potatoes in the 900 oven and it works. And I think for me that was brilliant. I was like, okay, I can make this 900 oven work. But, and I think it's all of those things that then having done that one-on-one, you know, when I was coming back into the group and asking questions when you were responding, it was really handy because you really intimately knew our project. And I think that was really useful for me. And I think having that one-on-one really gave me the confidence to go, okay, I can get this moving. We're on the right track, and really start looking down those design decisions. And I think knowing that the footprint of the house is going to work.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? I see it all the time. I see it when members upload, you know, their questions to the website, or they post their questions in the Facebook group as well. It's just that often it's just the sanity check. Like, it's the sanity check and it's the challenge, I find, is sort of the two things that we see be most helpful. So the sanity check of, you know, you are moving on the right path, and this is the, you've done the work, and you've done the research, and you've tested it for yourself, and you've really interrogated, is this going to work for you? And so, yeah, like that for all, you know, for all purposes, then that's ticking the boxes, and you're, you know, you're good to move forward. Or it's the, hey, have you thought about this? And perhaps they're working with a team that hasn't challenged them with that thinking. And, or perhaps it's been suggested at some point, but it's kind of gone over their head. And so, because they're focused on something else. And I think that's the thing when you're a homeowner experiencing this for the first time, and you're holding all of this brand new information and these thousands and thousands of thoughts and decisions, it's a lot. And so you can get information fed to you by the team that you're working with, but it just not register at the time that it needs to. And so just sort of have a place to come back to and go, actually, can I think about this? Is what this? And I remember with for your design, you know, there was that narrowness through where the kitchen and the dining area was. So it wasn't meeting the normal dimension recommendations that I have inside Home Method. But as we started to test it at 1:1, and also then challenged that the island bench didn't need to be as wide as you had it, that you could actually get that dining table in. You could look at having seating closer to the wall, you know, and then you having the confidence to test that at 1:1 as well then gives you that opportunity then to know that it's going to function in your everyday life. So it's really fun because you sort of, you know, I think that you get such, I mean, I really love seeing the how the members upskill themselves, and then the value that they can offer to other members when they've been doing the program for a while and new members arrive, and there's that contribution from the community of, hey, this is what I've seen. That collective learning and that collective knowledge is also really powerful as well. Did you see that inside the community as you were sort of asking your questions and navigating things? You can see there's different members that have different specialties and really latch onto specific information, or have dived down some Google rabbit hole and found the information as well. Did you see that too?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly there's just such a huge amount of knowledge in the group and support. And I think for me, the group was really different because when I was initially at the first stages of the project, I was diving into some other Facebook groups, and I hadn't been an avid Facebook user. But it was the tone in the group and the values. I think that they didn't align with me in the other groups, but Home Method, I felt like, okay, I've got my spot now. And there is so much knowledge and so much sharing and interest in your project. People aren't just focused in on their own project. They really do want to support you on your journey too and give you some other options. So, yeah, I found it hugely valuable. And there's things that I struggled to get my head around, and some things that I kind of was like, if I go down that rabbit hole, like, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to get this over the line. It's just going to slow me down too much. And that's where I think you have to trust your team of professionals as well, that they have the skills, knowledge, and experience that they bring, that you need to go, okay, that I'm on the right track there. I don't need to go into that kind of level of detail. So much in the community was super helpful just in terms of problem solving things. And for me, the island bench is an example. Like, yes, we did, you know, put on our design detective hats, and, you know, we would go to display homes and measure things out. And you do feel a little bit cheeky, but it's really helpful for actually being able to, you know, explore those things. And I think in our home, because it was a renovation, we actually had the capacity to kind of, I set up a whole load of the same size boxes to really kind of get that island bench demonstrated in the space. So it was having it at that 1:1 and knowing, okay, I think that's going to work. If we keep it at that reduced size, yeah, it does mean we get a dining table in, and we have done that and it works brilliantly.
I love that you had boxes in the space to test that out. It's so cool. Like, it's just, I mean, you're about to invest, you know, six figures or more in making this a reality, and people feel that they're going to look silly to walk around a display village with a tape measure, or that they're going to spend the weekend kind of, you know, putting out pieces of butcher's paper or putting together boxes like you did, you know, feels like too big an undertaking. But it's so powerful, isn't it, to really have confidence before you spend all that cash.
Yeah, there were some ladders in the backyard, you know, up at kind of clothesline height to see, you know, how, what view will we be getting? So there's so many of those things that you do need to think through that your team can help you with and the community helps with, but you do, there's a lot of legwork involved in actually getting this, you know, you do need to put a lot of yourself into your project, and there's a lot of time that you invest in your project, but you get that back when you move in. You know, it might feel like you're slugging it out for kind of hours, you know, getting boxes and stringing them together and walking around them and measuring off walls and things like that. But when you come to your home and it's finished and it works, it's so good. It's so, so worth it.
I know, that's what we say, isn't it? We can promise that when you get it right, it'll be so worth it. So your experience of renovating now, looking back at it and thinking about what you thought it was going to be versus what it was, how does that sort of marry up? What is your thought of your whole experience of renovating and that sort of before position you're in to where you are now, that you're at the end of it and obviously living in your finished home?
I think my experience, in addition to my thoughts, was that it is terrifying and anxiety provoking, and how am I going to get this right? How many mistakes will I make? How am I going to stuff this up? But I think once you get that team and once you get educated and you dive into the course and you do start to understand more and more, I think it really, you get a bit more excited. Your project is more exciting. It's not to say there's going to be difficult parts in it, but yeah, I didn't think that it would be as rewarding and as fun as what it was. I knew there'd be parts of it that I think was fun, but yeah, we had an awesome experience. Our build experience was brilliant as well. And yeah, I'm super grateful to the team and to you for making that happen for us. And I know that you say to us, you make this happen. And yes, we do. But I think, yeah, you couldn't do it without a good team. I think it just makes such a difference in how you navigate your project. And I think you really lean into your team so much on a project. You absolutely need them. You need them being really honest with you. You need them telling you stuff that you maybe don't want to hear, but you need to hear, you know, about where your ideas and your think your brief is, but what you can actually afford and what's actually going to work as well. It's not always just about what you can afford. It's about what's going to work. Yeah, and I think there was a lot of time that I spent that was really well invested in really digging through the content of Home Method and really sitting down and planning some things out, so that I think in my own mind I knew what I wanted, because how you want things to function and how, like, say for example our kitchen, you know, there's certain things that I knew that I wanted to accommodate, you know, a space to have the Thermomix and those kind of things. So you do need to really think those things out, and it's all achievable, but it just does take time. And I think your time is really precious on a project, and what you don't want to do is get too stuck as well. So I think there was times when, you know, I would dive into the group and go, I am a bit stuck here. Like, what do I need? And so I would get that feedback. And I think one time I did, you know, post in there, I need a, you know, a kick and a kind word, because I knew that time was really precious and I was sitting on some decisions, and I think I just needed that extra nudge to go, you need to keep moving. You're doing the right thing. Keep going. Because had we have delayed, we would have seen those on costs in supplies going up and those kind of things that would have had such a detrimental impact to what we could have achieved with the build.
Yeah. And I love that you saw your team, like, it was really clear that you always saw your team as your on the ground team in Brisbane and your Home Method community. So your Home Method content, Undercover Architect, and the community there. And what you said earlier about people wanting, you know, and loving seeing the progress on other people's projects. It's so true, because I see what I've seen time and time again is how sick your friends can get if you're talking about your project. And if they've never renovated before, they're wondering why everything's taking so long and, you know, why haven't you finished already? And do we really need to have another conversation about the tiles or the taps? And yet you've got this community that you can come to who all want to talk about those things. And so, you know, and then love seeing the progress of those decisions. And I do see, you know, we've got members obviously who've shared their progress right through and the excitement that other members get when they get to see the steps along the way. Obviously, I had the benefit of coming to see your project. It was just about finished, wasn't it, when I got to see it? And standing in your backyard and just seeing what you had been able to accomplish from where you had been to where you were then in terms of how you'd got the skill set in place, you'd done what you needed to in terms of pulling your team around you to then work really collaboratively with them, and your own mindset and your feedback when you actually finished. You wrote to me and you said, I think you might have actually posted this in the group actually, and I'm just going to read it out because I think it just sums up exactly what I see happens to homeowners. So you said, Amelia, so unbelievably grateful for your support, guidance, wisdom and kindness. There are so many clever, talented and generous people here, always supportive, and people get it in here. So happy with our reincarnated home. The process is what tears me up. I would never have thought I would have enjoyed it so much. The growth, oh my gosh, the growth. It feels like such an accomplishment to be finished and to have had such an awesome time doing it. And when I read that, I get goosebumps now from it because, I mean, that's what we're seeking to achieve. I'm such a big believer that you can and you should enjoy your project. And that doesn't mean it won't be without its hurdles and hiccups and challenges. But it is, it's like I watch time and time again, homeowners become a new version of themselves, having navigated that challenge for themselves, doing something that they didn't previously think was achievable, that did scare them, that did make them nervous, that kept them up at night, that was going to be this big investment of money. And then they upskill themselves, they surround themselves with the right support, they navigate it step by step and they come to the end. And it's not just that they've managed to travel that journey, but they've actually got this built demonstration, this built kind of experience of what that journey has created for them. And so can you talk through sort of balancing that pragmatic kind of, well, I just need to take this step and know this information and talk to this person and move that, with that mindset of I'm out of my comfort zone, I'm making decisions that involve a lot of money, they've had long lasting impacts, like that obviously came together for you in your experience. Can you talk a little bit more to that? Because I think that's something that really surprises people when they are navigating their project.
Yeah, and that still tears me up when you read that. Every time it just gets me. Yeah, because I do think, I just think everyone has the opportunity to have this same experience that we did, which was awesome. You know, it was, we had some real challenges in terms of COVID and things like that and still managed to navigate this. And I think having the community support, having your team around you, investing the time in learning yourself and really diving into the content and getting educated makes such a difference in how confident you feel in yourself to make the decisions that you need to. And there's so many decisions, and the impact of each decision on other parts of your project is, there's a lot of moving parts in a project. So it is a lot of work, but it was so rewarding to, like, I enjoyed learning the information. It was super interesting. It was interesting to try and apply, you know, what I was learning into the parts of the project that I was undertaking. And I think the other thing is having the confidence to have those discussions with your team members. And there's also a whole load of other people that you need to talk with when you're going and looking at, you know, fixtures and fittings and things like that. So getting educated, understanding what you're looking for, it's so important, but it's super rewarding. You know, and I think the information is presented in a way that, you know, through the podcast, through the content, it makes it really easy to understand. It's not super technical. It's technical, but it's able to be absorbed by you. You can get the support, you can check in and ask questions. So yeah, I think it was really interesting to go from that mind shift of being really worried and concerned to really gathering more confidence as I went along. So each step of the way, you know, getting the team, I felt more confident. Okay, I don't need to worry about, it's not my problem to solve. I need to talk through what I need, but I don't need to have all the solutions. That's what my team is there to help me do. And then, you know, it does get exciting. You can start to look at, you know, the nice touchy-feely things, the tiles and the cabinetry and all of those things. But I think it's also having the confidence to know what you don't know and ask questions about it as well. So, you know, if you are going to a supplier, for example, you know, I was like, oh, I'd like some timber handles. And, you know, when you talk through that selection with someone who is experienced, and then you get some different ideas. And I think this is the other thing that I found really helpful with having that team, is that they are connecting you with other professionals that they have working relationships with that have stood the test of time, and you are absolutely benefiting from their kind of long-standing relationships with their suppliers. So you can really leverage that in your project. And so asking lots of questions was one of the things that I've never probably been worried about, but there's a lot to take on, and you've got to do a lot of listening to what's getting fed back to you and taking note of that as well, because that's the bit that makes such a huge difference in your project.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And that's it for the first part of my conversation with Caroline. So I hope you found that really helpful, especially in providing insight into how your project actually can be enjoyable when you set yourself up in the best possible way. We are so passionate about that at Undercover Architect, that with the right education, the information and preparation that you need, you can create a home that you love living in and enjoy the process. And so I'm so grateful that Caroline was able to share her experience with you. Now, on the next episode, we're going to jump into talking about Caroline's insights now that she's on the other side of Home Method and she's supporting our members to have success in their own projects. Caroline brings a huge amount of skill and experience to her role, and I was really keen to hear her insights into what she's seeing really benefits homeowners as they learn what they need to know and they access that support along their project journey. And we also talk about what's coming up on the podcast, and Caroline talks to me about why I was originally super nervous about doing it, so we talk a bit more about that. Now, remember, if you'd like to grab a full transcript of this episode, plus links to the helpful resources for your project, you can find all of that by heading to undercoverarchitect.com 311. That's 311. So undercoverarchitect.com/311. As always, thank you for letting me be your secret ally. Until next time, bye. Just a reminder, all content on this podcast is provided by Undercover Architect for reference purposes and as general guidance. It does not take into account specific circumstances and should not be relied on in that way. You should seek independent verification or advice before relying on this content in any circumstances, including but not limited to circumstances where loss and damage may result. The views and opinions of any guests on the podcast are solely their own and may not reflect the views of Undercover Architect. Undercover Architect endeavours to publish content that is accurate at the time it is published, but does not accept responsibility for content that may or has become inaccurate over time.